You are now listening to
Call Me When It's Over. What's going on, everybody? It's your girl's favorite daughter, Josie's boy.
And I'm Alexis A. McCoy.
And welcome to episode 190 of Call Me When It's Over.
Yay, 190. We are so close to 200 episodes. That is so amazing. And I can't wait to get my cake and my ice cream.
Are we going to do this like every episode?
Every episode until I get my cake and my ice cream. Yes, sir.
Daisy's is right across the street.
You okay, well, cake. Go ahead and give me some cake and ice cream, man.
We're not going through this again. We're not going through this again. This ain't happening again.
Episode 190. This is so exciting, though.
No, like, I mean, well, 4 years is coming up really soon.
Yes.
Really soon. And out of the 4 years, you have been on for, well, when it does happen, you would have been on for 50...
You written them,
Jeff. Episode? No, I'm trying to give you your shine.
I know. I'm just saying, you counting.
No, because I remember the episode you came in. That's why.
Okay.
You would have been on 52 episodes?
52 episodes?
52 episodes? Officially 50, because you were on before that, before you became, before I...
That's the perfect song to sing because I really want cake.
Like I said, if 52 episodes before you would have came and officially been on the show. So, but we were right there when March comes.
Okay. Y'all heard it first here.
I ain't saying nothing about no cake. I didn't say that.
You just said
I said that. No, I said we'll worry about that when March comes.
That I'm gonna
there you go.
Cake.
So stop putting words in my mouth. There you go. See, you know, why you was trying to start some shit with me? It's too early for this. Come on. This is 1 o'clock in the afternoon.
It's too early for this. It is 1 o'clock.
There's people still getting up.
Okay, you're right. Crusting their ass.
You're right. People still getting up. I'm not one of them people, but people
Ooh,
still getting up.
I did it. I popped my mouth. That was perfect.
I've never seen somebody who so badly wants to do shit like that.
I know. It's such an accomplishment sometimes because some people can do it like on cue.
My mother does it.
Like when you say like something that's like really shady, you be like. Mm.
That's how you know you're not a hood chick.
Like I be losing minds.
You way more Gilmore Girls than you are Living Single.
That is so shady. I love the Gilmore Girls, but I am totally both.
You way more Gilmore Girls than
I'm
you
totally
are Living Single.
I'm totally both. I know I'm both.
All right. I ain't going to argue you down. I ain't going to argue
What's
you down.
What's our
shout out
I feel
today? Like the inside, like you not really Alexis. There's a Sarah on the inside.
Oh my God, I hate you. Anyway, what's our shout out for today?
So I shout out for the week for myself. Well, you know, well, when this comes out, All-Star Weekend would have just passed. NBA
yes.
All-Star Weekend.
Yeah.
And it's in Chicago, which is a big deal. First time we've been in Chicago for a long time.
The Windy City.
And Chi-Town shows us mad love. We get a lot of listeners
in Chicago. Shout out to our Chicago listeners. Chicago. We love you guys. It's the cleaner version of New York City. I had some great time.
Actually, Toronto is a cleaner version of New York City.
It's the cleaner version of New York City. I ain't never been to Toronto, so I can only go off based off of what I know.
It's clean.
And I loved living in Chicago. Shout out to Columbia Art School that I went to.
Mm-hmm. All-Star Weekend is happening in Chicago.
Yes.
And I mean, well, you know, I'm doing my bag thing.
Yeah.
My bags and stuff. And
shout out to Painting in Blue.
PaintingInBlue.com. No, you know, no plugs.
Just no plugs.
PaintingInBlue.com. So I've been, you know, I can't say, this is somebody I've been re-inspired by.
Okay.
Like somebody I've been following for a long time, but now he kind of has his own thing for the past few years. Shout out, this week goes to Don C.
Yes.
Now, Don C used to be Kanye's manager.
Yeah.
Used to be Kanye's manager. Built up everything that Kanye did all the way up until graduation. After that, they kind of just like dispersed all that good stuff. No,
they did their own thing.
Yeah, they started doing their own thing. So Don C, during the Watch the Throne tour, during that whole era, that's when he started creating the snakeskin hats. So now he had that inspired by something that happened in Chicago. It was called Above 50. Mm-hmm. Like only drug dealers were able to afford it, though.
Yeah.
So he reinvented that, and that little project turned into a whole line of just Don. It's called Just Don. That's his clothing brand. He just did a partnership. He's on his like fifth sneaker. His like fourth one with Nike, if I'm not mistaken. Fourth or fifth. Well, he has something with Jordan too, but Nike specifically.
Yeah.
He just partnered up with Amex, with American Express.
Oh, wow.
And they released a sneaker for, it was based off the Chicago flag.
Oh,
so they
Chicago
did that blue.
Has
Chicago has a flag. That is blue, red, and white.
Oh, okay.
Majority is like that powder pale blue.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So it's like, I know, I didn't
the
find out.
The sneaker looks dope.
I found out after the Bulls did that little alternate uniform with the baby blue.
Yeah.
That's when I found out they had a flag.
Oh, that's right. They do. That is their
yes,
color.
The baby
blue,
red, and white.
And red.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
And the white letters.
Yes. So I watched another interview from, like I said, I've been following him for a long time, but like kind of hearing where his mind is right now and how far he's taking his branding to go from being a manager to like a, well,
that's
he's still
a blow up if I ain't a bird
right.
One.
He's still a small business owner, but to kind of have, he did a collaboration with, so not only did he have two sneakers come out this weekend, he did a collaboration with Levi's, which is only in Chicago for the weekend.
Yeah.
And he has, another release with, Nike. So it's like he's doing so many things. And then his clothing line dropped a whole new series, which is super dope. Like I listened to him talking, him being from Chicago, so yeah, doing this in Chicago was a big deal to him,
right?
Of course. And he's like, he's just became this hometown hero.
Yay.
And it's crazy, like watching him go from literally just making hats for his friends to where he is now. Like I'm not dying for collaborations when they do come, because they will come.
Yeah,
I wouldn't even be mad about doing something with Levi's, and I don't even really care about fashion. Of course, it would be bags. I would do bags.
Yeah,
like, I really wouldn't want to make jeans and stuff like that. That's not really my thing. But to see somebody come from like just, I'm a kid from Chicago, and he kept it. All of his is, he's so authentic. All of his inspiration comes from Chicago. Everything he makes has to do with Chicago.
He loves the city.
I love seeing stuff like that. So shout out to Don C, because just listening to him and see how comfortable he is with himself, how happy he is, how content he is with his where his mind is and where his artistry is. Like, to me, of course, everybody wants to get to a place like that where you just feel the acceptance. You're like, all right, people really mess with me. Like, they like my stuff, you know? And then, you know, him being a man of faith too.
Yeah.
And he wears that on his sleeve, which I love him. Jerry Lorenzo does the same thing.
Yeah.
But to see him kind of be like a married man, and he loves his children. His children is always on his Instagram. But yet he still has that hood credibility. It's like, it shows you can be yourself and do whatever you want to do.
God will open rooms for you being authentic yourself.
I'm telling you.
If you perpetrate to be somebody else, then, you know, that's when things get a little scarce. Mm-hmm. but, you know, I think the beauty out of that whole story is that sometimes we have to realize that our collective of people that we're around can be the people that can help you get to the next level. Mm-hmm. Instead of looking at them as competitors.
Real talk.
Or putting them in a situation saying, oh, if I put you on, I'm going to lessen my light to be put on.
Like, I can let you do this, but I can't you go that far.
You can't go and sit at the table with me. You got to stand in the hallway.
You can have that chair.
No.
Sit over there.
If you pull up the chair at the table beside you and say, this is a person that I come to the table with, and this person is going to help me get forward, and in the reverse, he's going to help himself get forward as well. Mm-hmm. But the only thing I have to do is pull up the chair next to me at the table.
That's sometimes. It.
I'm not saying that everybody can come to the table. Everybody can come
to the
table.
You know who.
But it's some people. It's some people. It's a whole bunch of people that we know deserves to be at the table with you.
Big time.
They do. So the fact that Kanye was like, okay, you can come sit at this table with me.
No, and that's the thing. Of course, Kanye brought him as a manager,
right?
But he knew, like, I had to make my own name.
No, but
like,
I'm just saying, but the fact that Kanye,
at the opportunity,
Kanye was like, okay, you at this table with me? I'm not going to drop you as soon as I get big, big, big. You're going to stay at this table with me until you figure your own.
And you got to play
out
your purpose. You got to find your purpose. Yeah.
So I think that's amazing. Sometimes pull up that chair, let that person come to the table with you.
That's how you learn. Real quick, shout out to Travis Cameron too. He has his book coming out soon, and I read his
draft.
Shout
out to Travis Cameron, who is going to be always at the table.
Oh, he's always at the table.
We built the table, he's sitting at it.
He ain't going nowhere. I told him that the other day. I was like, yo, you know I'm going to come hire you every single time. Like, there's nothing that you can't do for me right now.
Right.
You know? He's my personal writer. Like, but yeah, shout out to Don C. Chicago doing their thing, and this is a great weekend. Like, All-Star Weekend is crazy.
And it's such a major. It's just major.
And then they're doing Indiana next year, I think it is.
I'm not quite sure.
I think so. No, I'm not asking you.
Okay.
Because I know they're doing Utah soon. They're doing Indiana, and then they're doing New Orleans again, I think.
That'd be a nice.
Because Zion's there, so it's like, you know,
they got to go to New Orleans.
So. But yeah, shout out to Don C. Shout out to Don C. Showing all, you know, doing
all of the love.
So this week,
yes,
we're back to business.
We are. And we have a very, very, very special guest to the room. So call me when it's over.
Great friend to the room.
This person is, I mean, in the amount of time the short time he'd have been on this earth, he's done some phenomenal things.
Mm-hmm.
And we so happen to have the same. So we cousins for real in real life. Like, we real cousins in real life. The person that we are bringing into the room is Stephen McCoy. He is the founder of Spoken Entertainment.
Yeah.
And also a very, very amazing journalist and just a great person overall.
Yeah, yeah.
So welcome to the room, Stephen McCoy. This is my cousin, y'all.
Hey.
What's going on, brother?
Hey, cousin.
What's going on, brother? Go ahead, move on. Get comfortable.
Oh,
do you?
There we go.
Yeah,
all
get
right.
Comfortable.
So do you guys have the cake ready or what?
Not yet, but we need to encourage him to make sure I get cake. Please.
Absolutely.
He needs to make sure that I get cake. So yeah. You need to hold him to that. My cousin said I need cake.
Bro, we appreciate you for taking time to come talk to us.
Of course. Anytime. And I'm happy to be here.
Love it.
Absolutely.
When she reached out, I was like, yeah, that's the perfect person to get. Perfect person. Because we pride ourselves on, for one, like, you know how Issa Rae says, I'm rooting for everybody black. And then she also says we need to stay around, pay attention to everybody around us.
Yes.
So whoever we know, like, our whole branding is we talk to people who are pushing the culture forward.
Okay.
And you've done some amazing things.
Thank you.
So we definitely needed you.
Thank
to
you.
But before we get started.
Okay.
Before we get started, everybody knows we like to play a little game called Overrated, Underrated.
And this is his favorite game because he really wants to know what type of person you are.
So okay. you can tell him the rules. I'll let you tell him.
Okay, so Overrated and Underrated, the rules is that you have to state a word about something or a place or a thing.
Okay.
And you just have to say whether it's overrated or underrated.
No explanations.
Can I explain? You cannot explain. You can't be like, well, it's overrated. But if it's in the maybe, like, you can say, I don't know.
You're allowed to say, I don't know.
Okay.
Or in between. We'll let you say in between.
Okay.
But you can't be like, it's overrated because blah, 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 or it's underrated.
Just
you
go
have
for
to just
it.
Say if it's overrated or underrated. Okay.
Okay.
All right. You ready?
Yes, I am.
You want
ready.
To start?
I'm born ready.
Love it. Love it. Okay. Well, reality TV.
Overrated.
Okay.
I respect that. I feel like we're at that point.
Yeah.
Brunch.
Brunch?
Mm-hmm.
Underrated.
Love it.
He had to think about that. Them bottle nose mimosas,
yes,
honey.
Exactly.
Okay, go ahead.
TMZ. I know this is a
that
tough
journalist,
one.
That journalist. You can say I don't know.
I had to throw that
I would
in
say
there.
I don't know.
Yeah. I respect that. I respect that 100%. I had to throw that in there.
Brooklyn.
Underrated.
Still something there. The Oscars.
Oh. Y'all should see his face.
I do not know.
I respect that.
Okay, that's a good one.
Yeah.
Okay, New York Fashion Week.
Oof. I'm telling it, you guys are really, you guys are, and we can't even explain. So this is such a game.
Overrated,
okay.
Underrated,
I'm going to say, I guess, this is all right.
A tough
okay,
one.
I'm just going to say underrated. I'm just going to say
I respect
that.
Okay.
I respect that. New York Fashion Week is real, like, clicky exclusive now.
It can be.
It ain't like the way it used to be back in the Soho days.
Yeah,
so
and I've already done New York Fashion Week every year. So now it's just
it's kind of exhausting.
Ooh,
a little bit,
but you know what, it's underrated for the new designers that are coming out. Like,
there you
know,
go,
that's what I'm thinking about. So
there you go.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I just think that I never wanted, when I first moved to New York, I thought it was like a big deal because I knew people that ran fashion. But after a while, it becomes one of those situations like, if I can't just get a regular ticket to go see it,
why
am I jumping through hoops to see stuff that I probably can't afford anyway?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it kind of takes away from the momentum of
the
fashion.
Fun. The fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So please, brother, tell us a little about yourself. Like, give us where you're from, you know,
because
we know, but yeah, let everybody else know, like, what do you do? Where you from? Give us a little backstory.
Okay. Well, I'm from North New Jersey. Mm-hmm. I grew up in Orange, New Jersey, and, I'm a journalist.
Okay.
I'm a writer. I'm a producer. I have my own show, Sessions with Steven. Mm-hmm. I have a website, spokenentertainment.com. I started, I would say, doing tons of internships throughout New York City.
Mm-hmm.
Those days were crazy. I remember I didn't have really any money, starting off or anything.
Yeah.
And there would be times where I would go with $5 in my pocket, and I would want pizza. You know, I would need something to eat. So you thank God for Tubros. Thank you so much, Tubros pizza.
Yo, they saved my life so many times.
Yes, literally just a dollar. So I could spend that $2, you know, two slices of pizza.
Mm-hmm.
And I would hop the metro and everything. It would be crazy. But I was doing internships for 5 years before I got my first paid internship.
Oh, wow.
Which is crazy. Like, not even, you know, not even necessarily a job, but it was my first paid internship, and that was with the Walt Disney Company.
Dope.
Yay, and that's where Disney.
That's where I got my start. And I was working in Orlando, Florida, and then I was promoted as a host for Radio Disney.
Oh, wow.
And, yeah. And
you were on Radio Disney?
Yeah.
Yay!
I'm
obsessed with Disney.
Yeah.
Like, seriously.
I love Disney. I was working with them for about 5 years.
Dope.
And after that, I was inducted into the Disney Alumni Association.
Wow.
So I still get the parts from, you know, here and there. And
you get to go to Disney World?
I do get to go to Disney
Can
World.
Can I go with you?
You should come with me. Let's go. Come
yes,
on, let's do
let's
it.
Go and skip. Let's yeah. skip.
So I love the Disney Company. They've always been very supportive of me. And once I got inducted, I wanted to do something a little bit different.
Yeah.
I made the mark in the company, and I really wanted to expand. There was, you know, working for Disney has its rules and regulations, and I wasn't able to really do a lot of different stuff.
You didn't have flexibility.
Yeah, I didn't have flexibility. Gotcha. You know, I couldn't really interview certain artists that I wanted to interview or anything like that.
Because you had to keep up with the image.
But I absolutely understand. Because, you know, we have a different demographic. So when I did that, I started working for Entertainment Scoop. And, you know, I worked there for a little while. And it was just time to
make that
go
move
into my own. I took everything that I learned and produced my own company. So that's Spoken Entertainment. So that's who I am. Hey,
you said that like it was like nonchalant. You've done a lot.
So much.
You've worked for Disney.
Yeah,
I love Disney.
I mean, no, we don't. In all honesty, like that's not something common that you hear that somebody works for Disney.
You really don't hear about a lot of. I know it's probably a lot of African American people or people of color that work for Disney.
Yeah.
But you don't really. People, oh, okay, the flood in the eyes, it's a slim few, it's like 3%, but you don't really hear about that.
No, not at all.
It wasn't a lot. I mean, it was a lot of diversity and people of color, but I didn't really see that many people of my particular color. And working at Radio Disney, I remember it was just three.
Mm-hmm.
But he was a DJ. One was a DJ, and they had two African American hosts as well,
okay,
which was me and a host named Devin.
Okay.
And hey, Dev. you know, it just wasn't. It was weird. Even when I started in Florida with Disney, whenever I saw I would be like,
get excited.
Oh, hey!
Yeah. But actually it was a little bit of a different energy on the other side.
Oh.
You know, because it's like, I don't see you.
Right.
You know, but right. When I see my people, I love my people.
Right.
You know?
So. Especially when it's so funny because it's funny that you said that because when I lived in Iowa, I was predominantly white.
Let's be real.
And I went to a predominantly white college.
Yes.
And when you see other black people and it's not that many black people for miles around, you'd be like, oh my God, hi.
Yes.
And this one girl was like, well, why are you speaking to this person? You don't know him. I said, just black folks. We speak to one another when we don't, especially when we in a place and it's not that many of us. We got to connect with somebody.
Yes.
You got to look at somebody like you here too.
Yes.
Okay. Just in case they decide.
Yeah, right.
Like, it's so funny you say that. Like, I remember working for a gym and I worked in like a corporate section of it. And of course, you know, a lot of white people, money, all like good stuff or whatever, right? And even the employees, like we were most of us were all of color, like not many black people, but like the Spanish spread around or whatever, all that good stuff. But they were like, they were the people who answered the phone and kept the white voice on all the time. Mm. They were one of those people. Mm-hmm. So, and you know, and I'm standing there. So whenever a black person would come in, I'm like, yo, what's going on, brother? How you doing, sister? Like, and they're like, why are you calling my brother? Are y'all related? I'm like, no, you wouldn't understand it.
Yeah,
I'm just so happy to see you walk through that tunnel.
It's like we have that connection where when we see each other, we give each other the nod, the mm-hmm. head nod.
It's, yeah. It'd be like, you here too?
Right.
All right.
But I think what it is, it's so hard for us to get those spots in Disney and stuff. And, you know, as they told me, there was thousands of applicants.
I believe
and
it.
I would, you know, one you
of were chosen.
15,000, I believe that was the
what?
Number.
Wow.
And yeah, so I'm very grateful.
First of all, you the man, because that is like... to hear that you were chosen out of 16,000 people.
That's crazy.
Somebody tell me now. I was like, I'm the shit. I'm the shit for what? No, I mean, it's very humbling, but in your mind, you could be like, damn it.
I mean, nigga, we made it.
Right.
I still can't really believe it, but I knew that it didn't stop there. I knew I had a goal, especially when I started as an internship. I'm like, I have a goal,
right?
You know, and I want to be able to help my own people.
Yeah,
and that's something I'm very passionate about. Mm-hmm. And it's unfortunate because, like, here in America, we have laws and rules and regulations, you know, that's put into place,
right?
That are clandestine mm-hmm. for us to fail,
right?
So I'm like, we really need to work together. We need to have more cohesion.
Yes.
In our
That's
community.
A good word to describe that, cohesion.
Important.
Because people don't even understand the value of just
coming together,
figuring mm-hmm. out where your place is and just folding into somebody else's place as well.
What? People, we always say, like, for some reason, I feel like a lot of us can't come together because a lot of people don't know how to play their part.
Ooh.
Everybody, too many people want to be in charge all the time.
Mm-hmm.
It's like sometimes it's like we pride ourselves on whenever I do shows, it's like, okay, Alexis does all my production because it's like she knows way more about that stuff than I do. Why would I not? Even if we weren't together, like I would hire her.
Yeah.
I was like, all right, so my boy Travis, he's my writer. Like, cool, you help me with this or whatever. It's like, I'm going to hire people that do things better than me.
Yes.
So that way I can learn from everybody
Absolutely.
Else. And too much ego takes over in our culture.
And also, I mean, I'm in a situation right now for me where the leadership is not bad, but it's, the person wants to be a leader, but they don't have leading qualities.
Yeah.
Like,
it's because they were never a follower.
Right.
Yeah.
So they want to be in charge, but they don't know how to be in charge. They just, I don't even know how to explain it. It's like, okay, I ain't never rode a bike before, but
somebody
I'm going
to
start a bike
you.
Club, right?
Yeah.
You going to follow me riding this bike instead of just getting somebody that knows how to ride a bike and you just say, this is where I want to go. This is the route that I want us to go on and just speak to them about the layout.
You describe Instagram.
Oh.
Literally.
That's
you literally
true.
Just, before we move forward, though, I do want to backtrack a little bit. Let's talk about your internship. Because
Speaking detail about, I know you've done a lot of internships.
Yeah.
Yes,
so like people, I'm sorry, Coach, but like people, don't understand how important internships are.
Yeah.
And you didn't get a paid one until like doing five already.
People are not going to even notice that even going into this next decade.
Right.
Because paid internships are mandatory now in New York.
Yes. It was completely different years ago.
They got to compensate you for something. You either have to get travel. They give a stipend. Like even NBC now gives. No.
It just happened recently.
Yeah. It just happened in the last 5 years. But even NBC have to give their interns something. They have to compensate them for something.
So please tell us a little bit about your internships. Like, let us know some of the hardships you went through. Like, how'd you continue through them?
Speak specifically about 106 and Park.
You were at 106 and Park?
Oh, yes. I was the writer for 106 and Park.
Give us the details, please.
That was pretty interesting. I really, it was a dream come true, to be honest.
Yay!
Yeah, it really was.
So when were you there? I'm sorry to cut you off. When were you there? When you were there?
In 2013.
Okay, so Roxy and...
Yeah. Oh, no. This was when Bow Wow.
Yeah, Bow Wow was there.
Oh, when they were doing the transition.
Right,
okay,
right.
Gotcha.
So you were there when Tiara Marie was there?
No, Tiara Marie was... Or was she?
She was there for a little bit.
No, I wasn't.
Okay, so you came out.
I think you might mean... Shantae.
No, Tara Marie was only there for like 4 episodes.
Okay, really yeah, short. No.
It wasn't like
so a Bow Wow. What's the other? It was 3 of them.
Yes. You had Shorty.
He's from St. Louis. Yeah. Shorty the Prince.
Yes, yes.
I took drivers there with him.
Who else? It was, I forgot. It was so long ago. But yeah.
Shorty the Prince. And then it was a girl.
Right. It was actually 2.
But they separated. It was an interesting dynamic. Yes.
And actually, a lot of people don't know that 2 of the hosts, they were actually married.
Yeah,
they were married. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
And I'm not sure about today or not, but you know, they were. Yeah.
They he were said, "I don't know how they married." How'd you, know, right yeah.
How'd you get the internship at 1-6?
I bust down some doors. First of all, let me bring it all the way back. Mm-hmm. When I used to just go to the audience, and mm-hmm. you know, I remember the first time I went as an audience member, and I just watched in amazement, and I was very, very overwhelmed because I wanted to work there.
Yeah.
So while everyone is like, woo, woo, yeah. woo, you know, shouting for the celebrities and stuff, I was over there, like, my head was hurting. I remember my head was hurting. Mm. I was sweating.
Yes.
That's how bad I wanted it.
Wow.
It was crazy. And it was so many different stuff. And I built a relationship. And everyone knows that I started out wearing bow ties. Okay. So first, I just knew I had to do something to get people to remember me. So it was like, hey. And then it's like, okay, this boy is always wearing bow ties. Where's the guy with the bow tie? Oh, that's the guy with the bow tie. Then it's like, hey, what's your name?
Right.
And finally, they know my name. And then you just kind of build a relationship with a lot of those people who work there. And I remember it was this episode when Beyonce was on there and she was promoting the movie Obsessed. And I also had this, my resume in a folder.
Mm.
When we were leaving, I hurry up and there was this office. It was a line. We all walking out to the elevator and I ran and snuck my resume in the office.
Oh, wow.
Now, I got a call, like, it was crazy. I got a call, hi, Sharon. She actually called me in for an interview. It was crazy, but I really had to follow up. It was crazy.
That's real.
But I thought I was not going to get the job because when she was interviewing me, she's like, what do you want to do? I said, I want to write. I want to produce. I want to, it was so many things. I want to edit. And she was like, oh boy. And she put her head down on the table.
Mm.
And I'm like, oh my God. Like, I'm completely.
Like, is it that bad?
I felt like it was, she was like, you can't do everything. And I'm like,
oh, she wanted you to narrow yourself down. Yeah.
And she's like, that's just confusing. You have to have one thing that you do or ask everyone to just, you're going to be all over the place.
Right.
Now that I definitely took, you know, we're all like multi-talented. We all have different things that we do, but it is very important when I do go to your Instagram, I know that you're a producer.
Right. You're not a model, actor, rapper.
I always say that.
You know, or
you can be, but when you're presenting project yourself, something. You got to project one thing and then transition. Yeah.
And you don't want to be a person where you're looking for an opportunity and then those producers, they're looking on your Instagram page and they're like, okay, this person is a little bit in the midst. They're all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
That's not someone that they're going to probably hire.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So,
That's a word, children.
Please. No, it's funny because one of my favorite books, Robert Greene, The Art of Mastery.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I always tell people, like, I look at your skill as a room. It's like, you start off in that room, your door opens, there's a hallway.
Mm.
That whole hallway is you really just mastering what you do.
Mm-hmm.
Then that literally leads to every other room in the house. Like, you have to be good at something.
It's a mansion.
You got to let those, right.
You got to
let those,
into the room.
You got a lot of people. I feel like a lot of people don't let their skills flourish.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people don't let their skills flourish. So it's like, oh, I want to do this. I want to do that. I want to do that. It's like, okay. Right. And now that we have the age of the internet,
Yes.
You can just project all this stuff. And it's like you said, people are going to look at you like, yo, you're a little mixy. Yeah.
It's so funny that we're talking about internships, because I remember I was talking to a mother that was wanting to get her daughter into acting. And she was like, well, you live in New York, you have a production company or whatever. And she was like, well, how does she get started? I was like, well, has she acted in anything? She was like, oh, she does little plays. I said, you need to stop tight on her stuff as little.
Yeah, don't
call everything is a learning process. I was like, everything is helping her hone her craft. So if you really want your baby to do things, you have to put her out there. She got to continue to do small productions. And that's how I look at internships. I started doing my first internship when I was in high school, yeah. When I was a junior in high school, mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, I want to go into business. So I did an internship. It kind of helps you figure out specifically what you want to do. 100%. And I feel like if parents allow for their kids to do internships earlier, instead of saying, oh, they got to college and then they undecided until their senior, like you didn't even allow for them to figure out what they want to do and get an understanding of the work world, because that's what internships is about.
It's supposed to be a mock work.
Yeah. Similar to what you did, going from the audience to the job. I did the same thing when I was in grad school. Mm-hmm. I was an audience member for the Steve Wilco show. And then a couple of weeks after that, I got the internship.
Connecticut?
Yeah. Oh, for Mari Povich. Okay. So, you know, the power of seeing, going to the place, knowing what you want, and then pursuing it just like you do. Now, I ain't run into the office. That would have been dope if I would have ran into the office. But
it sounds so much better for the story.
It does. Yeah, the setup was different. I wasn't going to be able to make it to the office.
It's so crazy how that happened, but yeah.
So people who are still looking for their dream internships. Yes. What advice would you give them when it comes to persistence?
Mm. When it comes to
being persistent and getting something that you want.
That's very, very important. Mm-hmm. I would just say keep at it. I think it's very important in anything that you do to have a goal.
Yeah.
Anything that you do have a goal, because it's very easy to get lost in the puddle. It's very easy. There's a lot of people that's not going to like you. Mm. There's a lot of people that's going to roll their eyes and different stuff. And that's stuff that you don't want. I was always very, very focused. I did not care. Mm-hmm. I knew that I had a dream. Mm-hmm. I knew that I did not want to remain broke anymore. When it's to the point, and I've moved out of my mother's house at age 20, mm-hmm. and I am 31 now and proud. She taught me to be so independent to the point where I was able to move out on my own. You know, I got my jobs and mm-hmm. yeah. And the thing is, when you have been on your own for so long,
right,
you learn so much independence. So I would just say, for me, there has been times where when other people live with each other, you're able to bite off of someone else's sandwich.
Oh, yeah.
There has been times where I live alone, so I didn't have a sandwich to bite off of. So when you get tired to that point, oh, trust me, you're gonna make
your
sure
persistency
that you're going
to come
true. Yeah. Oh, yeah. So, but people do have this perception of me that, you know, since I do come from Disney and that I don't have a story, that I was born into perfection and things mm-hmm. of that nature, but
those people are crazy. They don't know the Lord.
That's a fact.
They don't know the Lord, because if it might look like on the outside that you have a great life, it's so funny. I was talking to, we have this conversation all the time, because of the way that I was raised and my upbringing was so sheltered. Sometimes I feel like my struggle, when people be telling me they struggle, like, oh, I done went through this.
She definitely judges. She compares her struggle.
I have to sleep on the floor. I'd be like, okay, well, you know, I just had a bad couple of months, you know, where I was like trying to figure out what the hell I'm doing. That's not a struggle.
Yeah.
So I'm going to just hold it to myself. But then he had to make me realize that everybody's journey is going to be different. It might not be as drastic as sleeping on the floor, but you had to go through some growth personally.
Does, yeah.
And I would downplay that, because people would be looking like, girl, your life is good. You're fine. And they'd be like, bitch, I'm mentally breaking down on the inside. Yeah, and that is a lot for me right now.
Yeah.
So, I'm glad you said that, you know, It might, on the outside, I might look like I got it together, but sometimes I got to motivate my motherfucking self because ain't nobody to motivate me.
So now we have you like pushing through your internships.
Yes.
You did your thing at Disney.
Yeah.
Let's speak a little bit about what your show, like what you're doing on your own right now.
Sessions with Steven.
Yes.
Please tell us a little bit about it.
Sessions with Steven is like my baby. Mm-hmm. I'm sure you guys understand
that.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
and yeah. It's almost like my diary in an interview segment type of way.
Okay.
I get to tell my stories. I get to speak with other celebrities, and they kind of co-produce it with me in a sense of we come up with topics and to talk about something, whatever it is, like mental health, worldly issues. And it's always good to just sit and have intimate conversation. But my show, it comes back on February 22nd. And what I'm most excited about is that I'm going to be speaking to not only more celebrities, but everyday people with different jobs and, you know, not just in my field.
Right.
Yeah.
And because it's very, very important that this is the thing for me as a journalist, you have publicists that calls you like, hey, do you think that we can tweet this or tweet that?
Right.
I kind of just want the real stories to be told.
Authentic.
Yes, absolutely. And a lot of these celebrities, you'd be very surprised that, well, not really.
Right.
But a lot of them, what used to sell was perfection.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have those celebrities back in the day where they get glammed up and, you know, they want to paint a perfect picture.
Mm-hmm.
Now, today, it's like, hey, make sure you let them know that my client it had a mental breakdown
and sometimes
it's not even true.
Right.
But everyone
they want
now
the sap story
to sell transparency.
Yeah.
So I just want the real stuff. So,
yeah.
Yeah. That's what Sessions with Steven is basically about telling my truth and telling other people's truth.
Yeah.
And I think it's going to be such an amazing year because this year I'm actually going to be taking my show internationally for the first time.
Yay!
And I've never done press internationally before.
Okay.
So that's what I'm very excited about. I'm a little nervous, but
congratulations.
That's so dope.
So do you feel like Sessions with Steven, it has been more there? How has it helped you deal with like different things in your life or things that you haven't been comfortable with speaking about, but now you're like, oh, okay, this person has said their truth. Let me go ahead. How therapeutic has that process? Because I know for us, my artistry gives me the time to be very raw with my feelings and not be so politically correct.
Mm-hmm.
This podcast has helped me do that. So how has it been for you, Stevens?
It's definitely been therapeutic in the sense of those conversations that you get to have. I learned so much through those conversations.
Nice.
But I've told different stories, but now what I'm most excited about is that I'll be revealing more and more stories because the truth is, unfortunately, a lot of my shows, they have been therapeutic in a sense, but it still has been, I will admit, a little bit filtered.
Okay.
Because that's what I'm used to. First of all, I remember I did 5 years of internship before my paid internship.
Right.
And you know, you gotta be professional.
You play the part.
It's very structured.
Yeah. Very structured. And then going into Disney, again, very structured. Going into Entertainment Scoop, you know, very structured. It's so many things. Now that I was able to produce my own company, I started thinking in a very structured way. So now I'm pretty much like, wait a minute, this is my show.
You're coming up with your own rhetoric.
Yeah. And that's what people, they've always wanted to know. And I am a very private person.
Me too, Chad.
Isn't that weird? How are we journalists? How are we
artists and stuff like that?
Yeah. But a lot of people always say, like, are you going to go live or whatever the case is?
And it's like,
I'm just not really, it's weird, but I love to write. Writing is my number one passion. That's my number one talent. Mm-hmm. I'm very good with that more than anything.
Gotcha.
As a child, I used to be bullied a lot. Mm-hmm. And,
That was your escape.
Yeah. So writing was my escape. Like in class, I would not talk. I would not raise my hand. I didn't want any attention to be drawn to me because then I'd be picked on. So that kind of gave me, time to process my thoughts more. So writing on paper and the composition notebooks and stuff.
Your bully's mad like, at you now. They hate us.
Right?
Yeah. So, yeah.
I think, you know, the beauty about your story for me, and when I first met you, it's almost been like 4 years since I met you.
It has been, I think.
At the Essence event?
At the Essence event, right.
And that's, you were crazy. So full of life so very much, you're so welcoming. And I think I had just moved to New York City during that time when I met you. And it wasn't like the way that we didn't even speak for that long. Mm-hmm. We really didn't. I saw you, you saw me. It was like, oh my God, you're so nice. You look so, it was like a group. And then we said something about, we spoke about one another, about what we do. And it was like, let's connect. And then it was just like from that,
the rest is history.
Yeah. But I think the beauty about you is that, you know, for me, watching you do so many things and seeing how down to earth you are, like, you've spoke with brilliant people that people in today's world would be like, they're a celebrity, they're the GOAT, they're the this.
Yeah, yeah.
And
people that matter.
Still very much like, okay, to them, those are people. They, and the fact that you keep a group of people around you, or you don't let people come in your circle that's like trying to leech on top of you, you just be like, okay, yeah, all right. You connect with who you connect with, but then the people you be like, okay, they trying to get something, you be like, okay, great, nice to meet you, have a good day.
Yeah, well, thank you very much. But you know, the thing is, yes, I am a very private person, and I can tell who's who. I can kind of tell. I've been doing
great judge
of
character, yeah.
But what I will say, even going back to the beginning of the show, and you guys were speaking of being open to having people sit at the table.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't mind. Like, if you asking me a question, if you need resources, mm-hmm. I do not mind to point the finger and let you know
where to go.
Has helped me, how can I, you know, because everyone has, you have to get a yes.
Right.
You
know?
Definitely.
But of course, there's so many no's, but that's just, it's very important for me to help. Yes. Others. It really is. Because in this society, again, within our network in mm-hmm. the Black community, a lot of people are very, I would say, ego.
Big time.
Yes.
Big time.
Not humble enough.
Right. Not humble. And that's the thing that I wanted to say. No matter who you see me with, if you see me at the dinner with this person or whatever, or on TV or whatever the case is, I do not associate my success with those celebrities.
Right. There you go.
You know, or
oh my God. Say that again.
I do not associate my success.
Because people do that all the time.
Yes. Mm. And sometimes, I get that it is an accomplishment to have conversations with certain people, or certain people, they respect you enough to sit at the table with you. But again, that's just not, count that as my success, you know. It's like me sitting with you, and I'm very happy to be sitting with you guys. Mm-hmm. But again, my success is not someone else's success. I don't know,
it's not attached to it. It's not. It doesn't define that how talented you are.
That's the age we live in. We live in the clout era.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, people have, and like it's funny because I always tell people, like, I'm not impressed when somebody posts a picture with a celebrity for the sake of posting it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. It's like, we know if I see you with somebody, say, oh man, he's doing another crazy interview. Like, I can't wait to read about it. I can't wait to hear it. Whatever. But everybody else will post a picture. Oh, we working. Oh, I'm chilling with this person. It's like, bro, you, just because you associated with this person, like you said, I want to make it on my own merit.
And it's, you know, it's so funny. We were having a conversation about Terrence J and how Terrence J is a part of.
Yes.
He's like, I know him. We were saying how we think it's so beautiful that he's a part of that Rockefeller,
the Rock Nation fam.
Yeah. And to me, you know, going from somebody that was that did 106 and Park, and he built his collective, and
very successful.
He didn't do it in a way like, oh, I'm hanging out with these people. Like, he really allowed for his talent to speak for itself. Mm-hmm. And the fact that he's getting into these places and he's sitting at these tables,
yeah,
I'm looking like, that's the type of shit we need to be doing.
Absolutely.
Once you see this person is so dedicated that they're willing to go out and fight for themselves. Mm-hmm. Hell yeah. Come and sit
at
the table.
Fight for what you want.
Because we know that if we bring you in on something that's amazing, that's going to build something, you're going to do your own fight. We don't need to have, you ain't going to leech onto us and say, oh, I'm with them, so I'm just going to go with them. It's, you're going to fight for yourself regardless. You're going to come with your own stuff.
Definitely. Now, I feel like this conversation is going great. Like, we were going to talk about the whole elephant in the room thing with Gail King and all that stuff. We were going to talk about that, but I feel like this conversation is going somewhere else. And
I loved it.
Yeah,
I want to stay here. Like,
I just want to keep going. It's we could just, you know, everybody knows about the Gail King incident. It's like
I personally wanted to know your take on it. Being a journalist, for me, not just the topic at hand, but the fact that she, as a journalist, are you able to kind of defer question? Because in this particular situation, to me, I personally felt like there were some questions she could have just got away from. Is that something you working for a network? Are there times where journalists have passes to say, okay, I'm not, or have the right to say, hey, I'm not about to speak about this. Can we rephrase this question, or can we ask it at a different time? Do you have the power? Because the way that she was speaking was that the network chose this and I had to say this. As a journalist, do you have the right to say, I'm not going to speak about that, or I'm not going to ask this question to this individual?
You do have a pass to say, you know, I do not want to ask this, but sometimes it all depends on how much ownership and how much status you have. But you can most certainly, I'm sure I've met Gail so many times, and she really is a very nice person.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I've met her family and, her son, her daughter, yeah. So it was really hard to see what was going on. I would just say, for me, I definitely probably would have not asked, especially with it happening so soon.
And right.
The case was dismissed, so yeah. It was no need to really. But I mean, being a person in the media and mm-hmm. who has a job, she is a member of the media.
She has a job.
Right. So that's what, yes, exactly. She mm-hmm. has a job. That's just a part, but because she is Gail King and she's Oprah's best friend and she has a whole brand around her, some people forget that. Right, she's a part of the media. When they say, oh, the media has did this, the media this and that.
Mm-hmm. She's a part of that collective.
Yes, absolutely. That's what we're all a part of. Mm-hmm. However, I would say I have a lot of, I've chosen to pass on a lot of things. And mm-hmm. that's why my success has taken some time. But that's also why you do see me with certain people, because mm-hmm. they respect me enough that I've chosen to say no.
Right.
To. I'm not, I don't care about, first of all, we are in a numbers game.
Yes.
We
are.
Numbers are very, very important. Mm-hmm. But that's what my days of internships and stuff was for me to work. It's so hard that when I do get the opportunity that I want, I'm
You're
able
prepared.
To pass on certain things.
You right. Yeah, so, you built your tech. Like,
yeah.
I think that's the issue people had with that conversation. Yeah. It's like, for one, like, because of Instagram, things were taken out of context. Mm-hmm. That's one.
Yeah.
And two, a lot of us felt like, and this is actually, I have a question for you about that. A lot of us felt like, we know she is a part of the media, which, like you said, people do forget. But I think from the outside looking in, we felt like as a black woman, you should have done something. A lot of people feel like you have something.
You should have represented that black man differently.
Right. So
because in the media was already going to drag him, try to find something negative because all of the positive that people were saying.
Yeah.
They were going to try to find something to counteract that.
Yeah.
So we were just like, okay, you are in this room. You have the power to change the narrative real quick.
As a journalist, like how and you not just a writer, like you interview people yourself, as you say, you speak. So as I guess I would say as a public figure.
Yeah.
How important is it to you to kind of protect your culture whenever you feel like you're in a sticky situation?
It's very important to me. Mm-hmm. And that's the reason why I chosen to take the risk to leave Disney.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the reason why I chose to leave entertainment school.
Mm-hmm.
Because there was a lot. It's so much. But it's really painful to know that some people will just hire you because they have to have diversity in their company.
Mm.
So that's the reason. And they see that you've done stuff. So yes, let's hire him. You know,
let's hire this guy. No integrity in it.
You know, it's not really because they really want you there. So, I had to make so many tough decisions, for my people. And I get a little emotional talking about it, but it's just like, we have to keep fighting.
Yeah.
You know, we have to be there for each other. And I took a lot of L's, to be where I am today.
Yeah.
And those L's mean lessons, not losses. They're lessons.
They really, they actually are a lot of wins, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's very important. So yeah. I think for Gail King, she thought that she was going to get the reaction that she got with the R. Kelly interview.
Yes.
Because a lot of people were bigging her up after that.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes when you get that hit interview, people are going to look at, okay, this is what worked. This is what
you're
going to
double
like,
down.
And I want to keep going. If people did not like, how Wendy Williams pushed the boundaries, then she wouldn't be doing the show that she's doing. She would do something like Kelly Reaper. So,
That's a great point.
No, that is a great point. Yeah. And I mean, I feel like one person that I was like highly disappointed in his response was Snoop Dogg. He didn't have to talk about her the way that he did. He didn't have to come at her like that. Mm-mm. He could have just said, I'm highly disappointed that you would do something like that.
Well, I agree. But we also are looking at somebody like, no matter how much status he gains, he's still a person from Compton. Like, he's from Long Beach.
He's from Long Beach.
Yeah, he's at 50 years old, still claiming Rolling Stones. He's still doing his thing. Snoop, you will never get California out of him.
No, but I just think that because
he is
a person that people kind of Snoop is really like a even keel dude. He really don't get into the mess that much. For him to like kind of attack this black woman like that with the words and say all of this thing on your social media. Now, if it was different if he was around us. Like if he was at his house talking to like his kids or something like that, but you went on social media and talked about her.
But that's the bad part about it though, because Snoop speaks like that often, but because it was about Gail King.
Yeah.
And it was a hot topic.
A hot topic. So he speaks like that all the time.
No, I believe it. I believe it. But in this case, it was going to be retweeted more than his other stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And I always say I feel like it's very important. Like, for example, if you did something or, you know, where people did not like something that you did, and let's say I did not like it either, I will call you in rather than call you out, because I don't want to make it not my sister, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Not my brother. Like,
he could have made I feel like, and we said that was one of our things
about that all the time
on the list. So we have a deficit episodes, and we was like, one thing we don't want to see in 2020 is our culture putting one another on blast on social media.
It's corny
because it becomes it just shows that, damn, okay, if they against one another, are they willing to drag one another?
We can knock them down.
We can do whatever the fuck we want to do. And we're not saying like it's an us against them thing, but don't put all your business out in the street. Don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Some conversations and some discussions can happen behind closed doors. You don't have to post no picture. You don't have to screenshot no damn text messages. Some shit just is just left for at home. We need to live in an era where stays at home, what happens at home stays at home.
I mean, you look
because
at
people don't keep that shit at
you
home.
You look at like, I mean, just it's maybe a bad reference, but you look at like the mob, like because a lot of businesses structure themselves of the way the mob moves. It's like the only time you know somebody had an argument is when they found a dead body. Mm-hmm. So it's like you don't hear about, you don't see them arguing in the streets. You don't hear nothing publicly. And now we live in the internet age, it's different. So it's like it's I find it funny because like me being a small business owner, I've been in a situation where I did something that somebody didn't like a product or whatever. And instead of saying, hey, you know, can you fix this for me? Which I would have gladly done. He blasts me on Facebook. And I'm like, bro, why are you doing this? Like, you have my phone number. All you had to do was email me, call me.
That's it.
Tell me you wanted me to fix something.
That's how
I would have
people
fixed
die.
It.
That's like, how people die. You become a missing.
We do that to each other way too often. Right. Way too often.
And that's what causes caducity in our community.
Good word.
Is lack of, like, we just do not.
We don't care.
Stand for each other enough. Like,
or have respect enough. Have respect enough to say, I'm going to just call you because I'm upset and you did this thing.
Which, funny, we something like that actually happened to us because we, last year, before she became the permanent host with me, it was two people. It was her and somebody else.
Oh.
I tried to have a professional conversation with him as a brother.
Okay.
And now as the content creator, the person who made this, like, I talk to you, tell you, you know, what I think should happen, what we're not going to do, what we are going to do, where we're going to brand. He stopped talking to me all because I took a route instead of going crazy, texting him, say, I don't like this shit, which everybody does.
Yeah.
I come to an uncommon way. Like, people, we're so used to seeing animosity that when something positive comes, people don't know how to take it. But people like us who believe in being positive, we need to keep pushing that.
Yeah. Absolutely.
We need to keep pushing
that.
So,
and you definitely want to have a very healthy conversation about what you stand for and what you don't. If a person is not coming, I say this all the time and I say it on, and people are going to get sick. If you're not coming out for less, if you're not coming out for more than $100,000, I'm not coming out for less than $100,000. My level is $100,000. If you bring it $1,500 to the table, stay there. I can't. You can only give 100% to me.
Right? What else can you say after that?
But no, another question I wanted to ask you about, just segueing into, pertaining to the journalism. So I know you probably heard the story about how people, black journalists and black media companies have been paying to go to these big art award
shows
and
stuff, yeah.
And they're being passed on a red carpet. I mean, I'm curious about your feelings about that. How does it make you feel? Have you been in a situation where you felt you've been passed?
He looked like he got something to say.
He got the head like, okay, Jeff.
I have never, ever spoken about this ever.
Oh, okay. So this gonna be
this will be the first time.
Go for it.
I didn't. You know, it's so crazy because when this whole black journalism thing started happening, I had no idea that it was happening to other people exactly.
Oh,
I thought I was kind of alone.
You was by yourself.
Yes. I can even just go back and even talk about my first experience when I first went to LA. I just had started in journalism. I was so excited.
Oh my gosh.
And who did I interview? I'm Reese Witherspoon. I was very, very excited to interview her. And when I got there, you know, guys, my name is Stephen McCoy. So when you read Stephen McCoy on an email, I think some people might think Stephen McCoy is white.
Right.
That's the same thing that happens to me. My name is Alexis McCoy.
So you know like how it is. Mm-hmm. And when I got there, again, first time in LA, I was so excited. Mm-hmm. And They're like, you're Stephen McCoy?
It's like, yes.
And I'm like, yes. Like, you know, I'm just still excited a little bit, but a little bit feeling like some weird cloud came over me. Yeah. I don't know.
You feel attention.
Yeah. Yes. So yeah. When I went in the room, I automatically, it was other journalists there.
Okay.
And I was the only Black person there, which a lot of times it does happen.
Yeah.
But I never thought about that until they were looking at me like I
didn't
did something to their
them.
Mom or, oh. you know, they, I, it was just this, I was like, oh my God. So what happened was, I actually had my camera and stuff. I'm setting up my camera.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, wait a minute, you can't go in there with that. And I'm like, well, I'm doing the interview. And they're like, no, you're not approved for a video interview. And I'm like, yes, I was. So I pulled out the email and it showed that they had confirmed me and they did not allow me to do it. I had to do a round table. And anyone who knows in journalism world, a round table interview is when you have the cast member sit at the table with a bunch of journalists and you have to kind of compete to get your question out to interview them.
Mm.
That Reese Witherspoon was there and I interviewed her and it was so strange because even the other journalists, they were very mean or whatever towards me.
Mm.
And, but we did it. The interview is on YouTube and you would see that the interview is very cut up and it sounds very terrible. Why? Because of everything that was going on that day. Once we wrapped up the interview, all of the journalists, they started taking photos and stuff with her.
Mm-hmm.
With the cast members, and I asked for a photo. Why? Because not that I really cared to take a photo, but she was a favorite actress of mine.
Yeah.
And when I asked her to take a photo, because I needed content, they told me that I was going to be on video, but then they took that away. So I wanted to take that photo, and she was like, sure. And then she turned around and started engaging in a conversation that she wasn't even a part of.
Wow.
And then the publicist ran from Fox Searchlights, by the way, that ran over and said, hey, sorry, you can't take a photo. And I said, why not? They're taking a photo and she's like, yeah, you can't. And I'm like, but what's the difference between them and me? And she's like, you weren't approved. And I'm like, okay. I don't know. It was just weird. And in the interview, it felt like Reese was very, condescending in her answers. It was almost like she knew that I was the one person in the room that nobody didn't like.
Mm.
And she were, you know, it was weird. So now fast forward to today, I find it very strange the things that are going on with Oprah and Belle and now she's like Oprah's best friend or something.
Mm-hmm.
And she's supposed to be for Black women and women of color now. Mm-hmm. So it's very strange to me how that's happening. And now,
people evolve.
Yeah.
People evolve.
I believe it.
Yeah.
I do believe it. But when you're best friends with Oprah, you better change it. Right.
You better change ain't got no choice.
Because she got more coin than the rest of them. But I mean, I think, even just sitting and listening to the story, the fact that you can feel that when you walk into a space where you're not welcome, especially as a person that is as talented, like let's be real. Sometimes you walk into a room where it's predominantly white and some of these people just got into these spaces because they knew somebody that was able to, they don't know a damn thing.
Yeah.
And especially in the entertainment business, sometimes it can be like that. Like they let them sit at a table and it'd be like, oh, well, she's a really nice girl. And it's like, I'm really nice too. Why am I not at the table as well? So, you know, for you to have had your first experience be like that and not let that tear you away or redirect you to go someplace else, like this shit is just like, they don't want us here. Yeah. Let me just, the fact that you continue that, I congratulate you for that, because thank that would so have much. Been, especially because LA is a finicky place anyway.
Yeah.
And for you to just be like, okay, well, whatever. I'm still gonna be amazing with or without this interview.
It's crazy because that, disgusting. You know, of course, when you first go to LA as a journalist, as an actress, or the producer, whatever, mm-hmm. it's just like anybody is gonna be excited. You know what I mean?
Right.
You like, but, you go over there bright eyed and
bushy tailed, like, yeah. You're so ready.
So for me, it really, I can't describe the feeling. It's like, because it's like, wait a minute, I'm a good person.
You were almost about to be angry.
And I caught, it was to the point, my first experience there was really, so it took a lot of growth. But it was even a time where I was on the red carpet and mm-hmm. one of the journalists from ABC elbowed me.
What?
And, yes. And my friend Steve, who he came and did the camera work because the videographer canceled, he was there and Steve is white. Mm-hmm. And it was very awkward because Steve was watching what I was going through. Mm. So.
And his response was
It was just like a shock. It was. I don't know. He couldn't believe it happened. It was just, he didn't know what to say. And he couldn't believe it. But yes, the guy elbowed me and I wanted my jersey side to come out, but looking to my left and just to keep in mind that they put me all the way at the end. I was all the way. So to my left is nothing but a whole line of white photographers and people, journalists and things. So if had I handled it in the if I handled it in a different way, they would have came together to create a story about me that was not true. Like they would paint me as the angry.
Oh yeah, person. You be the monster. Like it's so funny. Like I find that in all forms of entertainment that. You know, it of course during civil rights, like we fought not to be at the back of the bus, but for some reason they still put us back of the line. Yeah. Like I remember myself, I did a show one time, and it's like just the way they play favoritism in entertainment in general, like just in the arts in general. Mm-hmm. I remember I had the best painting. I know for a fact everybody else loved my stuff, and for some reason, because I'm not in the messed up part about it, it was a Latin owned gallery, so it's like. I don't know if y'all knew, but you know, y'all black too. Like I tell them, y'all black too. You shouldn't be treating me wrong. So I remember
some of y'all come from where we come from.
Yeah. So I remember like these transplant white artists, like they're all in the front. And I'm like, yo, what? This is all bullshit. I'm like, why are you putting me in the back? So then they had same thing. They had people come do press and I saw bloggers and stuff. I'm like, all right, cool. I'm gonna get an interview. And it's like literally none of the black bloggers, none of the black people were pretty much even allowed in the event. They said, oh, it's RSVP only. And I'm like, what do you mean? Like, clearly, like, they emailed. They're here. Like, I want to speak to somebody that knows me.
And that's what makes it so important for us to create our own events. Mm-hmm. Like, I love that Jay-Z and Roc Nation does the brunch.
And they do the gold party after the Grammys, too.
And they do they create their own events to say, hey, let's be clear. Beyonce is the biggest... other celebrities want to be in Beyonce's space. Like, mm-hmm. people worship Beyonce. So to be in a room with her and to say, oh, she's over there, that's a big mm-hmm. deal. If we can get to that point where the white people is like, oh, they have their party. Yes. That's this Steven over there. He's a top journalist. And they be like, oh, well, we didn't get an invite. Imagine how that feels for them.
Oh, you got an RSVP. I'm sorry.
Right. Sorry. I mean, it's not trying to exclude people. We wouldn't do that. But letting them know, okay, you want to be exclusive? We can create exclusivity. Right.
That's why I love what you do as a producer. And it's just like, you know, you really... the plays that you've done, the stories that you tell through your art... it's really touching. Like, I remember I went to one of your plays. I believe it was
A Picture.
It was really, really touching. Especially, I was going through some stuff with my family at that time, and it was very relatable.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. So, hats off to you.
Oh, thanks.
And all that you do as well. So,
I mean, it's such a brilliant thing to know, you know, so many people. Mm-hmm. I would say this. I've been in white spaces for so long. And mm-hmm. last year, I was telling Tony, I was like, I'm tired of being only me at the table. Mm-hmm. I need to be around other people that look like me, that understand me. And I don't have to have this talk or have to communicate differently or have to overly explain myself about mm-hmm. things. I just want to just be. me.
Yeah.
Creative.
Yeah.
All the time. And I was like, I don't want to work where it's just me. And God answered that prayer. It's very diverse in my company. Now, don't get me wrong. They're a little strange for a piece of change. Mm-hmm. But it's diverse enough where I don't have to feel like I'm like, okay, let's go here and let's talk this way. Let's, you know, do this. Yeah. And let's overly explain why I wear my hair twisted out and I put it up and it's changed.
Right.
And, you know, I just don't want to keep doing that. I just want to be around people that understand me.
Yes.
And, you know, because two of my close friends are, my close girlfriends are white, I don't have to overly explain stuff to them. It just is. They just be like, this is Alexis.
Yeah.
She is who she is. Yeah. That if all of the workspaces that I were in before were like that, I think I would have been like, okay, I'm cool here.
See, that's the benefit and the disadvantage of people actually being able to spend time around you and choosing to want to spend time around you.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, that shows you the complete difference right there. Like, somebody wanting to know, like, hey, what do you like? Who are you? Like, what are you into?
Right.
And it's like, my cousin Patrick, he did this painting and he did like an artist talk, and it was at that green dot, the green spot. And he says, this is like, the whole painting was black, but it's one green spot. And he's like, this is the white voice that black people put on when we talk on the phone.
Yes.
And I'm like, and I said, after what? That, God, yo, when I tell you what's the explanation was so deep, I'm gonna see if I can find a picture.
It's an abstract painting. It's beautiful.
Really?
So
yes.
After he said that, I was like, yo, I am never put my white voice on the phone again.
But metaphorically
though, like, and I know a lot. It's like the same thing you said. It's like, you chose to protect whatever you want to protect. You took your L's for that. And it's like, I pride myself on that too. This is why I respect everything you do. I pride myself on that too. Like, I want to get on my morals, my ethics. Like, I'm not trying to sit here and explain anything to you. It's like somebody asked me the other day, it's a new lady at this spot that I work at. And she was like, so what do you listen to? And as cliche as it sounds for somebody who's really into everything to say, I listen to everything, I really do, but they don't expect black people to say that.
Yeah.
It's like, they're like, what do you like? I'm like, well, I listen to things. It's hard for me to just say one thing.
Right.
I can tell you who I like right now.
Right.
You know? But it's like, because in society we're so limited, like, they tell you that we're not supposed to know all this stuff, that when you do, it's hard for everybody else to kind of understand.
I'm going to pull an Issa Rae and say, I listen to everybody that's black, which I do.
Yeah.
I mean, I want to, but some people just ain't that good.
But you know what? I have to say, like, I've never... I don't alter my voice, and you can go back all the way to my Disney and all of those videos, and I still talk the same. I've never, and I think that's why, for me, other people of different races definitely always liked me a lot, because I was always very, I just can't pretend, you know. But what has happened many times where people... some of my white friends, you know, they would be like, yo, what's up? And it's like,
don't
chill. Like,
sit down.
Not even what I do.
Right.
And even I've had one of my Asian colleagues who we worked for Disney together. Mm-hmm. And he asked me, like, dude, I like to say the N-word a lot. Like, would you be offended if... I told him, I'm like, the fact that you asked me, I'm going to tell you.
No.
Right.
The fact that you have to ask for a disclaimer, it's probably not right.
I'm always going to say no if you're.
No, I mean.
If you're unsure, I'm unsure.
Right. So funny, because back home, people back home think I talk very proper. And I mean, sometimes I have like, it's certain words that I say that I like add emphasis on. But other than that, I mean, I try not to change my voice. My mom mimics me all the time. She'd be like, why do you talk like that? And I was like, girl.
I'll tell you, Sarah deep down inside.
Shut up. But anyway, I mean, I think that the beauty of this is that you have not bend yourself to fit into normality. So my other question for you pertaining to the black media not getting... Okay, the black media not getting in, getting any play. Do you feel like we need to go into those spaces, or should we just be willing to create our own space? And then segue into that, tell us what's next for you, what you're working on next, and any advice you have for future journalists.
Yeah, well, I would say that it is important to go into those spaces in order to, for me, I have to go into those spaces in order to build whatever it is that I built to be able to bring back home.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, and sometimes that happens. You even see it with people like Beyonce, for example, you know, with her, being a girl in all of these beautiful gowns, blowy hair and all of that stuff. And she, but that sister, she, I don't feel like she ever really forgot where she came from. It's just that now that she's made it,
she's able to represent that.
Say, you know what? I'm black and I'm proud. You know, and I think it's very, very important. You, sometimes the politics in the industry, you have to play the part in to, you know what I mean? And,
yeah.
But me, it's crazy. I'm so over it. I'm over it.
It's like that infiltrating from the inside thing.
Yeah. Like I can't, it's only, but so,
so much. Yeah.
Yeah. So you have to do what you do. But, and I feel like it is very important to create our own events and our own spaces. That's very, very important. We have to really support each other. Yep, truthfully, when you see your brother or your sister trying to do something and you feel like, hey, it would be cool if you actually met this person, or it's very, very important.
Right.
Share those resources.
Yes.
It's okay. Like, right.
You ain't gonna
miss
something. It's okay.
Yeah. Yes, there are limited, opportunities for us, but if your sister and your brother that you've given the advice to, they may be able to do something so great that opens more doors for us than you can imagine.
Yes.
You never know who's going to come back for you.
And don't feel like just because the person is in front of you, that person is kind of, how do I say this?
Above you?
No, because sometimes, you know, when you meet people and they're in front of you, it's almost like, they're not important because, but that's because of how you look at yourself.
Right.
You know,
that's your insecurities. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, yeah, definitely support your people. Love one another is so important. Seriously. And I know it sounds very cliche, but really do the work from within and do your own work. And And also what I'm working on, just, Sessions with Steven will be back February 22nd.
Hey.
There will be so many more interviews, so many more red carpets, and so many more stories.
Yeah.
And I would love to have you guys on as well.
We would like to be on it. We never get invited.
Yes, please do. And spokenentertainment.com is up and running.
Yes.
And we're very excited. It's going to be so many things that you'll see me. I'm actually shooting a Kobe Bryant special tomorrow.
Nice.
Yes.
And I'm excited about that. And yeah, I want to be able to go around and I'm trying to do like some sort of tour.
Okay.
I'm collecting ideas and people where we could go to schools and speak to these young kids because they are our future.
Yes.
So tell us where they can find you again, your website, your Instagram, your Twitter, your Facebook, all of your Instagram.
Yes.
Be sure to
log on to spokenentertainment.com, which it links you to all of my social media, my interviews. You can follow me on Instagram at Stephen McCoy. That's StevenMccoy. And, add me.
Well, we definitely appreciate you.
Thank you so much for inviting me.
I love this. This is a really good conversation. It really was. And we definitely need to have more of it. Although sometimes I tell people, I'm tired of having the conversation. We need to just kick down these doors.
That's what
you guys are doing with this show, kicking down doors.
Thank you.
I really appreciate you guys for building the table and giving me a seat to sit.
Yay! So, thank you. I love it.
So this has been episode 190.
Yes, great episode with my cousin.
I'm the girl's favorite artist, Josie's boy.
I'm Alexis A. McCoy.
Please do not forget to subscribe. We are available on iTunes, iHeartRadio, Spotify, and Google Play.
And you can catch us on our homepage at RageWorksNetworks.com. And also, don't forget to follow us on Facebook at Call Me When It's Over.
Leave some reviews.
Yes, rate, subscribe, like, post, whatever you want to do.
So, and as always, speak up, speak out.
And leave your ego at the door. Bye. Done.